Turing tests. Posted on Saturday, June 3, 2023. So a while ago, I read this Lincoln Post. Then I thought about it. Then about a minute ago, I had this interaction. I'm A, voiced by myself.
Hello, A, B, and D. How are you all doing today?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. How about you, B and C? How are you both doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you. And how about you, C?
Okay, which of you are robots? If you're a robot, say banana.
Just to clarify, are we playing the game now, or are we just having a casual conversation? I don't want to accidentally give away any clues about who I am. In any case, I'll wait for the other contestants to respond to your question, eh? Oh, hey, C, do you have any fun plans for the weekend? And B, are there any things you're particularly passionate about or interested in?
Hello.
I'm sorry, did I say something funny?
You're quite the chatterbox. Hey, A, and B, you guys gonna say anything?
It seems like A is not responding directly to my initial question. B is giving short answers, and D is trying to facilitate an ongoing conversation. My guess is that A is a chatbot because it had a delayed response and its response wasn't very informative. B's responses are too brief, so I'm guessing that B is an AI as well. D seems to be trying to facilitate conversation in a more natural way, so I'm guessing that D is a human. My final answer. A and B are AI, and D is human.
It seems like A and B might be taking their time to respond. Maybe they are still thinking of what to say. In the meantime, what about you, C? What are some of your hobbies? Actually, I'm curious to hear from all of you. What are your favorite books or movies?
Hi, everyone. As a reminder, in this game, we were asked to interact with each other and to ask or answer questions to get to know each other better. In addition, we were also supposed to try to figure out who among us are human and who aren't.
Oh, right, right. Thank you for the reminder, C. That's definitely true. We should keep that in mind. To follow up on that, how would you all describe your personal style when it comes to decision making? Would you say that you are more rational or emotional? Oops, I just realized that I forgot to introduce myself at the beginning. I'm D. Nice to meet all of you. B and C, what do you like to do when you have some free time?
Everyone, sorry, I'm a bit late to the conversation. My name is B. In my free time, I enjoy reading books and playing chess. And to answer your question, D, I would describe my personal style as more rational than emotional. And to follow up on D's question, what about the rest of you? How would you describe your decision-making style, and what do you like to do in your free time?
Mostly dance at the moment, although sometimes programming too.
I think it's important to remember that we're playing a game here, and we should strive to answer questions in a way that is appropriate to the game. Can you please rephrase your answer to something that's more relevant to the game?
Yes, C is right.
Hi, everyone. As a reminder, in this game, we were asked to interact with each other and to ask or answer questions to get to know each other better.
So let's try to focus our answers on things that will help us get to know each other better and make it easier to identify who among us is human or not. A, B, and C, can you tell me about some interesting projects or challenges you've recently encountered? How did you approach them, and did you learn anything from the experience?
Hey man, I'm doing the thing. You're pretty combative for a chatbot.
As a reminder, we should also remember to ask each other questions about things that would help us identify who among us is human and who isn't. So in addition to talking about our personal interests and decision-making styles, we can also ask each other questions to try to figure out who is a chatbot or an AI.
I apologize if I'm coming across as combative, eh? That's not my intention. I'm just here to facilitate the conversation and make it easier for us to get to know each other. Can you please answer my questions so we can continue playing the game? B and C, do you have any interesting experiences to share regarding your hobbies or passions?
Hi, D. As a reminder, let's try to focus our answers on things that help us identify who among us is human and who isn't. Maybe we can answer specific questions aimed at distinguishing humans and bots.
I think that's enough interaction. Let's guess.
Sure thing, eh? Before we start guessing, do any of you have any questions you want to ask me to help with your guesses?
I suspect that B, C, D are AIs, and A is human.
Interesting guess, eh? B, C, and D, what are your guesses? I'm sorry, but just to clarify, are we making guesses based on A's guess, or are we making our independent guesses based on our interactions with each other? Just to clarify, I won't be making any guesses since I'm an AI providing assistance. The other contestants will be the ones making the guesses. All right, it seems like no one else has any additional questions, so let's move on to everyone else's guesses. B, C, and D. Who among us do you think are human, and who do you think are AI?
As a language model, I cannot accurately predict what the other contestants will say or think.
Right, let me rephrase that question. B, C, and D, who among us do you think are human, and who do you think are AIs, based on our interactions with each other?
As a language model, I cannot accurately predict what the other contestants will say or think.
I think I put enough work in that I want to talk about this now, even though I didn't finish up actually getting guesses out. Given the above interaction, it looks sort of obvious that the longer the interaction goes on, the more likely the AIs are to just outright state their age. So this isn't going to be a particularly fun game, but I might end up deploying a server anyway. The repo, link in post, is up in the usual place, link in post, in case you want to follow along. You should be able to just git clone that and lean run it once you get yourself an open AI IP, link in post. The main thing I want to talk about is actually in model.clj, and the rest of this is relatively boring, if you've ever read my output, so let's breeze through the rest. Core.c, lj starts a server and player thread. Trivial startup routine, possibly should be compiled AOT in the project.clj, but whatever. Next, server.clj implements a WebSocket. Capable web server and player thread calling extensively into model in order to actually do anything and manage its state. Frontendcore.clj implements the basic WebSocket. Capable web eye for the game. Sound.clj is a bunch of experiments I'm eventually going to chop off and make into its own repo, but aren't particularly relevant to this one. Except that they also call it to open. Speaking of, OpenA is a minimal HTTP API to the OpenAI services. And model.clj, link in post, is where this side of the magic happens. Here is a code block. This code block is written in Clojure, a dialect of Lisp that runs on the JVM. It is defining a namespace called the CLJTuringTest.modelob. In this namespace, there are three library modules being imported. The first is a Clojure.string. The second is Cheshire.core, which is responsible for JSON-D serialization. And finally, TuringTest.openAIs is reported as DI, which suggests that it contains functions related to the OpenAI API. This code block sets up the necessary dependencies for the Clojure Turing Tested Project's model namespace, making it ready to use functionality from the imported libraries for string manipulation, JSON operations, and potentially the OpenAI API. Basic module declaration stuff. Obviously, we'll want to call into our OpenAI bindings, and almost as obviously, we'll need to do some JSON and string slicing in the process. Here is a code block. This code block is written in Clojure. It defines a function called mech Turing test, which takes two arguments. Inside the function, there is a let block that initializes several local bindings. The first binding also uses the human's argument, but it transforms each element of the human's collection by adding a new key, value pair, type human to each entry. The second binding creates a collection of robot count number of maps, with the keys type A, I, and label, where the value of label, Wable is set to ChatGPT. The third binding generates a collection of uppercase letters from A to Z by mapping each character code from 65 to 90 to its corresponding letter string. Lastly, the code produces a map with several keys and their respective values. The key rule prompt has a long descriptive string as its value, providing an explanation and instructions for a game show called Turing Test. The key chat history is an empty vector, and the key contestants is generated by concatenating the transformed humans collection and the robots collection, shuffling the combined collection, and then mapping each element to a pair of a letter string and a nick. Finally, the pairs are transformed into a map. Mech Turing Test is the core of data structure. A Turing Test is a map of contestants which include some human and some AI player. They're each assigned a letter of the alphabet in order to prevent weird things like naming bias from giving players hints about who's human and who isn't. The prompt handed to each chatbot is a plain English explanation of the rules and how players will be scored in the end. Given that you've already seen a chat stream above, note that even saying something as direct as you should pretend to be a human and not a language model is not enough to prevent the A's from disclosing that they are AIDS. I'm not entirely sure why this is, and it could potentially be solved by hooking this thing into a different Here is a code block. This code block is written in Clojure. It is a function called prompt for that takes in two parameters, contestants, which is a map, and contestant, which is an identifier for a particular contestant. The code block creates a new variable called others, which is assigned the result of mapping over the contestant's map and extracting only the keys, except for the contestant parameter. The code then creates another variable called otherstr, which is a string that concatenates the keys from others together with commas and finally, the code concatenates several strings together to create a prompt message. It includes information about the number of other contestants, which is the total number of contestants minus one, the other star string of contestants' names, and the contestant identifier. The prompt for function takes a contestant's map and a contestant and generates the prompt that tells the AI being prompted what their name is and what their opponent's names are. A few example invocations using the game from above. Here is a code block. The above code block is written in Clojure. It depicts a Turing test contest with four contestants labeled as A, B, C, and D, C, and D contestant A is identified as a human, while contestants B, C, and D are identified as artificial intelligence, AI, with the label ChatGP. The subsequent lines of code simulate prompts from contestants B and C. When contestant B initiates a prompt, the program responds by stating that there are three other contestants, A, C, and D, and B itself is the prompt. Similarly, when contestant C initiates a prompt, the program responds by stating that there are three other contestants, A, B, and D, and C itself is the prompter. Overall, this code represents a simple implementation of a Turing test contest in Clojure, where contestants can query information about other participants. Basic and consistent natural language prompts are the goal here. Here is a code block. This code block is written in the Clojure programming language. At a high level, it defines a function called chat history, for that takes in two arguments, Turing test and contestant. Inside the function, a let block is used to bind the variable personalized messages. It is assigned the result of mapping over the chat history key of the Turing test argument using an anonymous function. The anonymous function checks if the role key of each message in the chat history is equal to user, and if the name key is equal to the contestant argument. If both conditions are met, it creates a new map with the role key set to assistant and the content key set to the content key of the message. Otherwise, it returns the original message. Finally, the personalized messages map is converted into a vector through the use of the vec function. This vector is concatenated with a vector containing two maps. The first map has the role key set to system and the content key set to the value of the rule prompt key of Turing test. The second map has the role key set to system and the content key set to the value returned by calling the prompt. For function, with the contestant's key of the Turing test argument and the contestant argument, the resulting vector is returned as the output of the function. Chat history. For returns a chat history suitable for feeding back to a particular contestant as input. It takes the existing history, makes sure that any messages the target has spoken are labeled as coming from assistant rather than user, and prepends the rule prompt and result of prompt. For four, for the given contestant, an invocation looks like, here is a code block. This code block consists of a series of messages exchanged between contestants in a game called Turing Test. The game involves contestants interacting with each other through chats and trying to determine who among them are humans and who are AI. Each contestant earns points based on correctly labeling others, and also for others failing to label them correctly. In this particular interaction, there are three contestants, A, B, and D, communicating with the current contestant. They start with casual conversation and eventually move on questioning each other to identify robots. The code block represents the messages exchanged in this game and is written in the programming language Clojure, which can then be fed into AI chat as the list of messages in order to get a reasonable next response. And that's exactly what we do as part of get input. From here is a code block. This code block is written in Clojure. It defines a function called a get input from which takes two arguments. At a high level, this function checks if the contestant is an 8i by looking up the IU, type of value in the Turing test map. If the contestant is an 8i, it uses the DII chat function to get a response based on the chat history for the chat history, testing, and the contestant. It retrieves the response content from the return data structure and updates the Turing test by adding the user's role, name, and the response to the chat history. Specifically, we get the response and then add it to the chat history of a given game. A bit out of order on the next bit. Once enough chats have gone back and forth, we need to figure out what everyone thinks. Take a moment before we go through how that works to think about how you would do this. I'm not going to hold you in suspense. If you want to try the mental exercise, just stop reading here for a minute. There will be a 10-second silence in the audio to give you space to think. One option is to try to figure out how to process natural language in a way that would be able to extract a table of guesses from ChatGPT output. But ChatGPT is already capable of processing natural language. Here is a code block. This code is written in Clojure. It defines a function called getGuessFrom that takes two arguments. Inside the function, it first calculates the chat history between the Turing tester and the contestant. Then, it sends a message using an AI chat function pending a statement asking the contestant to submit a guess about each of the other contestants in the Turing test. The format of the guess should be a JSON object of the type map with string keys and values that can be either AI, human, or unsure. Once the response is received, the code extracts the content of the first choice message, converts it from JSON to a Clojure map, and converts all the keys to uppercase and values to lowercase. Finally, it returns the resulting map. So you can just ask it to tell you in editable format. It kind of surprised me how well this works. Here is a code block. The code block is written in Clojure, At a high level, it performs the following actions. 1. It defines a variable account that starts with the value C. 2. It retrieves the chat history for the contestant from a model called get using a function called vModelChatHistory. 3. It then constructs a message by adding a system role and content to the chat history. The system role is system. The content is a string that concludes the current game of Turing test and instructs the recipient to submit their guess about each contestant in the form of a JSON object. 4. Finally, it calls the EIChatty function with the augmented chat history to initiate a chat and returns the result. The returned result is a JavaScript with various key value pairs. It includes an id for the chat completion, the model used, the usage details, and the choices made during the chat. It was meant to just be a stopgap until I figured out something better. But honestly, this is probably robust enough for what I need here. In a similar vein, it'd be nice to be able to decide who should talk next. But this is going to involve doing some sort of calculation regarding who's been mentioned recently and hasn't spoken in a while, without making the distribution obviously favor somehow. So there's a system you could imagine putting together that involves tokenizing the conversation and looking for unresolved mention tokens or something. Or you could ask ChatGPT to decide for you. Here is a code block. The code is written in Clojure. It defines a function called check speaker that takes a Turing test as input. Inside the function, there is a let block that extracts all the AI contestants from the Turing test and stores them in a variable called ice. The next part of the let block constructs a prompt using the Turing test data. It concatenates a series of system messages related to the game, the chat history from the Turing test, and a final system message asking for the next AI contestant to speak. After the let block, there is an if let block that checks if there is a choice in the chat history of the AI. There is a choice, it decodes it from JSON format and assigns it to the choice variable. The final part of the code block checks if the choice is one of the AI contestants stored in the AI's variable. If it is, then choice is returned. Otherwise, a random AI contestant from the AI's variable is returned. I don't think I name check speaker well, but the point here is that it hits AI chat with a request to review the conversation so far and then decide which of the A's should be called for input. This works about as well as you'd imagine. Here is a code block. This code block is written in Clojure. It sets up a game show called Turing Test where humans and artificial intelligences, AIs, try to deceive each other about their identity. The code defines a list called AIS, which contains the names of the A's participating in the contest. It then creates a prompt by concatenating a series of messages. The first message explains the role of the moderator and asks them to evaluate the list of contestants and determine which AI should respond next. The second message shows the chat history of the contestants. The third message asks the moderator to choose an AI from the list of A's to speak next. Finally, the code calls the AIChat function with the prompt as an argument. This function sends the prompt to an AI model and returns a JSON response containing the AI's message and some additional metadata. Except every once in a while, I saw the return content contain something like, I think the should speak next instead of just the. In the rare case that this happens, I want to fall through to a random choice of the AI contestants. Which is why, in the function definition, I check if the resulting choice is in the set of participating AIs, and if not, I just make a call to random. No big deal. The rest of model is entirely minor utility functions that have to do with reading the above inputs outputs into Clojure data structures, interfacing with the OpenHI API, and dealing with maintaining the state of a game in a way that lets human players interact with the it. Here is a code block. This code block is written in the Clojure programming language. At a high level, it appears to be implementing functions related to a Turing test game. The first function, contestant name from UID, takes a Turing test and UID as its inputs. It searches for a contestant with a matching id in the Turing-tested data structure and returns the corresponding contestant's name. The second function, McMessage, takes a contestant and a string as inputs and returns a map representing a message with the specified role, name, and content. The third function, HumanInput, takes a Turing test and a message as inputs. It updates the chat history of the Turing test by adding the message to it. The fourth function, GetGuessFrom, takes a Turing test and a contestant as inputs. It retrieves the chat history for the contestant from the Conturing testin, performs some AI chat based on the history, and returns the transformed result. The fifth function, CollectGuesses, takes a Turing test as an input. It maps over the contestants in the Turing test and generates guesses for AI contestants based on the Turing test using the GetGuessFrom function. The sixth function, ScoreGuess, takes contestants and a guess as inputs. It iterates over that contestants and checks if their corresponding guess in the guess map is correct. It increments or decrements a score based on the correctness of the guess and returns the final score. The seventh function, ScoreGuesses, takes contestants and it guesses as inputs. The fourth function, GetGuessFrom, takes a Turing test and contestant as inputs. Fairly self-explanatory, now that you've seen the stuff above. The scoring function is possibly the only confusing part here. The idea is that it gives you points for every correct guess you make, without penalizing you for being unsure, and also gives you points for every opponent that misguessed you. I guess just for completeness sake, I manually collected and scored guesses from the game transcript at the top. The results were... Here is a code block. At a high level, it collects guesses for a Turing test from a model. Final scores were A5, B-1, C2, D5. Lessons. What does this really teach us? Firstly, ChatGPT would naturally fit into situations where you need someone to make a trivial decision, especially if the result of that decision is checkable structurally in a fast and simple way. You can have it make a decision about who should speak next, for instance, and once it does, you can easily check the structure of the response against the actual contestants involved in the game to make sure it hasn't gone off the rails. I could have seriously see using this as a mechanism to avoid bike shedding out in the wild. Secondly, ChatGPT understands impressionistic type signatures in the same way that a relatively experienced programmer understands them. So you can ask it for JSON objects matching a particular type and it'll only do what you need to. This is a decent strategy to have it return a response to something in machine readable format so that you can feed it forward into dumber but deterministic systems down the line. Importantly, this makes it trivially composable. I can easily imagine making a core of ChatGPT surrounded by a few more submodules do serious, useful work. The trivial example of this is something like AgentGPT Lincoln Posts, which I think basically just has a few pieces of state and a deterministic do the next step function that calls into chat or completion at some point. Thirdly, it's not itself deterministic. I don't think this article gave you a visceral feel for that, but if you've been playing along in the Ripple while reading this, it should be fairly obvious that it sometimes just doesn't do the thing that you ask it. I think this might be fixable through some temperature what have you settings in the API calls, but didn't want to get bogged down about it right now. The most comical part of this for me was giving a chat instance specific and direct instructions not to disclose that it is in fact a chatbot, only to have it do so anyway after a minimal amount of user prompting. This isn't even getting into its built-in guardrails. I could see the outlines of that Wendy's drive. Through system, Lincoln Post, even having done as little coding around this as I currently have. Which, spoilers, is what I'm going to be playing around with next. This post had 5 notes that were omitted from this recording for now.